It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
What a great show I have for you today with my very special guest, a powerhouse and a force in Canadian country music. Abby Stewart is here to talk about her brand new single, Bless Your Heart, that was produced by the award-winning producer, Jeff Dalziel. Welcome to the show, Abby.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Really good. How about you?
Oh, you know, getting through, given COVID and all those circumstances, you know.
Yep, I hear you. I know it hasn't been easy for any of the artists right now, but I know that, you know, building off the momentum for you and everything that you've been doing, girl, I'm telling you, I went through your videos last night and just listening to you at age 10 and 11, and it's just like, holy cow.
Wow.
Incredible.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
You were handling Taylor Swift, but oh my God, Carrie Underwood, to listen to you do that song at that age. What was that like for you to get on stage? I know that when we're younger, we have no fear, right? We get up, we sing the song and no fear. Is there a huge difference in performing now?
You know, there definitely is. I think that, you know, ever since then, I've definitely matured as a performer. I've been taking vocal lessons for many, many years, so I think my voice has matured since then as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was doing those, like, I'm assuming those were, like, talent shows when I was younger that are up on YouTube. I just remember loving those songs that were on the radio at the time, right? So I was like, oh, I really want to try that. I really want to try that. So I would just practice and practice that song, those songs over and over again, and just perform them for people and hope for the best.
It's so funny to watch your face as you're getting up on stage, and it's like absolutely no big deal to you, and you're up there, and it's just like the confidence. But man, the delivery for Carrie Underwood, it just gives you chills to know that you were that young and being able to deliver a vocal like that.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Incredible, girl. Incredible. Now, you have been so busy at a very, very young age when it comes to this music journey for you. Mm-hmm. What was it in the beginning, and what influences did you have in the home to be able to say, you know what, this is what I want to do?
I think my love of singing and music started at a really early age, like 2 or 3 years old, because my parents, actually, they would sing me to sleep every single night. Mm. You know, they would sing nursery rhymes and they would sing old rock songs, especially Bryan Adams songs.
That's
because of
cool.
That, Bryan Adams is my hero. He is what got me into performing and singing and playing guitar and everything like that. And my first live concert was actually to see him in Syracuse when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I have to ask, did you fall asleep when that happened, when you went to the concert?
I didn't. Actually, my parents tell this story to people all the time. Because I was 3 years old, they brought me to the concert. We were in, like, balcony seats. I can still imagine the concert to this day. It's, like, a core memory for me. But they brought these, like, huge headphones to, like, protect my ears and stuff. And I was having none of it. I just kept ripping them off and being like, no, I cannot hear. I can't hear the music. So I would not. I refused to wear the headphones. And I would just scream the songs at the top of my lungs. So I think my love of music definitely came developed at a young age. And, you know, I would perform, like, in front of the TV. We'd be watching, like CMT or MTV or something like that, and just watching music videos. Mm-hmm. And I'd stand in front of the TV with, like, a fake microphone and just, like, perform, just copy whatever was happening on the TV and sing the songs and stuff like that.
What was it about country music that you fell in love with?
My love of country music, it definitely came from Taylor Swift. I look up to Taylor Swift a lot. So when she was in the country scene during her first album, I fell in love with her music. And so my parents, they would put on the country radio stations, and I'd be waiting for Taylor Swift to come on. But, you know, waiting for Taylor Swift to come on introduced me to everyone else, you know, like Carrie Underwood and Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton and Brad Paisley and Canadians as well. So country just kind of stuck with me. And I realized, especially in Canadian country music, just how much of a tight-knit family that it really is. Mm-hmm. And I love the music and I love the community.
Now, how did you end up, because I know that it was at a very young age too, but your first radio release came mm-hmm. with She's Thinking With Your Heart, and that was written by Grammy Award winner and Juno Award winner Steve Wilkinson of the Wilkinsons. And we know him very, very well, and an incredible, incredible person, but mm-hmm. he gets behind Canadian artists in a big way. And tell us how that all came about.
Yeah, so I got to record that song when I was 12, came out in the summer when I was 12. And that came about because I met the Wilkinsons, Steve and Amanda and Tyler. You know, at the time, Amanda and Tyler were Small Town Pistols, their band. And my manager at the time, Gary McColeman, Big G, who just retired, actually, but he was the morning show host here in Kingston on Country 93.5. Mm-hmm. And he kind of got me connected with Amanda and Tyler to write songs with them. And they were so much fun to work with. And they ended up sending me a few songs that they didn't end up recording. So it mm-hmm. was kind of some of their top picks for their own band. And She's Thinking With Her Heart was one of those songs. So I was super blessed to come across that and get connected with them. So we got it recorded, and that was my first radio release. I was so excited.
Well, imagine hearing that for the first time when you get in the car at 12 years old and going, that's me. That's me on the radio, like something that you've been dreaming of since you were so young. And to be able to do that at that age is just phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. It was definitely a dream come true. It's another like core memory for me. We'd wake up at like 7 in the morning just to like make sure if it was on, you know, during the morning show or whatever, we wouldn't miss it. So hearing it for the first time was mind-blowing.
What a really cool memory. And when you're looking back at it all now, and I know you're still mm-hmm. so young now, but God, you've accomplished so much. I know that you've been through so many different shows. So you were on the road and really hustling, you know, to make sure that you were on different stages all over the place. But I know Kingston and that music scene has meant an awful lot to you. Tell us about that.
It really has. Kingston has an incredible music scene, not only just for country. I mean, they have lots of events for all sorts of music. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to country music, every summer, it's one of my favorite summer shows to do. Music in the Park in downtown Kingston is the best. It's at Confederation Park. It's in front of this our beautiful waterfront. And it's, you know, an open park, and lots of people can come, and people are walking on the streets, and if they hear, or if they like what they hear, they'll stop and stay for a while. And it's just, it's so much fun. And I love, you know, connecting with people afterwards and during the show. I try and, you know, move around on stage and give out high fives and stuff like that. It's just such a fun show, and I look forward to it every summer. Last summer, because of COVID, of course, it was the first time in like 6 years that I hadn't done it, and it was so sad.
Oh, I'd imagine. But, oh,
yeah.
Kingston's been such a huge support when it comes to your career. That fan base is so strong in Kingston, and like you said, when it comes to not performing that show, it would have been so hard.
It was hard. It was last summer was so strange because there was just no shows. But you know, Kingston even did its best to support local artists because they had small COVID safe shows in Market Square. So like, mm-hmm. you know, tables were like socially distanced apart, only like 3 people were allowed per table, things like that. And the artist could do like an acoustic show behind plexiglass and under a tent. Mm-hmm. So I did that a couple times in the summer, and just even those little opportunities meant a lot to me, just to like get out and play guitar and sing for people. So yeah, even during COVID, Kingston is very supportive of local artists.
I'm going to get back to the COVID end of it in just a little bit, because I just want to be able mm-hmm. to introduce you to some of the international fan bases that we have all over the world. Mm. So when it comes to what you've been doing, now we did talk about you working with quite a few people, and Wilkinson's is one of them. And then you mm-hmm. also worked with Dean Brody. And then you are also opening for Tay-Bae and for Brett Kissel, Hunter Hayes, mm-hmm. gosh, Dan and Shay on the Canadian dates for the Tattoo Your Name tour. How did you land that gig?
I met Hunter Hayes in 2014 at Boots and Hearts Music Festival, and we really connected, and you know, he's such an amazing artist, an amazing person, and you know, actually, like, a few days later after Boots and Hearts, I got a call from his manager that, you know, if I was interested in opening for him on the Canadian tour dates, that they'd be happy to have me, so that's kind of how that all came out, as well as with, again, my manager at the time, Big G. He got me connected to them, and it kind of came around very organically, and I thank my stars every day.
Boots and Hearts has done so much for so many of the artists, mm-hmm. and for you to be able to be on a stage, I imagine you were on the front stage, right?
Yeah, the front porch stage.
Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people go over there just to see the new talent and the emerging artists that are coming out, especially the Emerging Artist Contest. And I know it's mm-hmm. one out of eight out of any, I think it's all Canadians, right? It's one out of eight people that get to perform. And mm-hmm. every single one of those people has turned around and had a recording contract and have done extremely well and are doing so good. The Reckloss, there's so many of them. Taibe was the first one on the yep. stage that won the Emerging Artist Award, and so many people that followed suit, and it's just incredible to see the talent that's poured out of that show, and you're one of them. And for you to be recognized after all the shows you've done and to get on to Boots and Hearts, you also did Havelock Jamboree, which I've done for years, and they were the grassroots show for such a long time when it come to mm-hmm. bringing stars from both sides of the border, and then Boots and Hearts. You've played the biggest stages. What's the difference for you now when you look back at those days and, you know, being able to get calls after shows like that? Where was your head at when you were receiving those calls?
I was blown away, really. I mean, those opportunities presenting themselves were just, I was so blessed to have them. I mean, Boots and Hearts, I again, like you said, I was part of Boots and Hearts, the Emerging Artist Showcase in 2013. Mm-hmm. And to be picked one of eight across the whole country was just mind-blowing. I was so excited to be a part of that. And then to be invited back to do my own set there in 2015 on the front porch stage, it mm-hmm. was so awesome and so much fun. And I love playing for those big shows. I mean, you know, the stages they're legendary, and I'm so honored to be there among so many other big names. Sometimes looking back on it, I can't believe I got to do that.
That's that no fear thing you have when you get on stage.
Oh, there's definitely a little fear for sure. I think if I didn't have any nerves, there would be something wrong.
Did you find that you were less nervous younger than you are today?
Yes. I think that's that would be true in saying that. Mm-hmm. Looking back, I was just like, yeah, I'm just performing. There's nothing to it. But now I think I put a little more pressure on myself just to, you know, remain professional and, you know, do a good job, give people their money's worth, things like that. But it's no less fun. I love performing.
You can tell. You can tell that you love performing and that it's in your blood. But also to
yeah.
the fact that you love music, and that's what resonates with all of us. You know, when you're performing,
yeah.
you believe the lyrics you're singing. And that's mm-hmm. that's not easy to come by. Like that doesn't just come naturally. That takes a lot of work. But with you, it mm-hmm. was present when you were young. When you were on stage, you could hear that in, it's like an old soul singing to all of us. You know, in a 9-year-old body and a 12-year-old body. And it was just like you had to take a double look and go, are you kidding me? You know, that girl is singing that song and delivering it, you know, to the same capacity that Carrie was. And,
oh,
you know,
my God,
at the young age that you were. And that's why, you know, people gravitate, because you are that star quality. And for Canadian music, we are so lucky to have Kingston's own Abby Stewart doing the kind of work that you do, and to believe enough in yourself as a singer-songwriter. And, you know, incredible talent, girl, really incredible talent.
Thank you so much. That you're going to make me cry. That means so much to me. Thank you.
Well, 2015 was a stellar year for you when you were releasing your first EP. And it was entitled First because it was a 5-track EP of originals and songs that you had co-wrote. And it was received so well by the fans, but also by the peers in the music industry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I released my first EP, like you said, in 2015, and we called it First because each song on that EP came from a first of something. So She's Thinking With Her Heart was my first radio release. Broken Home was the first song I ever wrote that got on the radio, things like that. So that's why it's called that. And my song I'm Still Faster, which is the last track on that EP, it was my first music video, which now has over 500,000 views that I'm so blown away by. But yeah, people really loved it, loved, when I would sell it at all of my shows. And now it's so crazy, I've officially sold out of copies, except for the ones that are at my mall here. So yeah, people really loved it. And I'm so blessed that people loved it because, you know, it gave me the drive and the inspiration to just keep going, make more music.
I think too, when I look back at your career and I look at where you are now, you, as I said, you can tell that you love the music, but at the same time, the reasons why you'd be more nervous now is because your life's on the line as a music artist now. When you're younger, you're on the stage and you love to perform and you love to do those things, but this is your life now. This is a completely career choice as an adult. And, you know, it's an amazing to see you go through this journey.
I would, that's actually a very good point. It's, there's definitely a little more pressure because, you know, when I'm younger, I'm just, you know, up there singing and performing. I just like to do it. But yeah, definitely now it's, you know, obviously I love performing and I love singing. But there's also the, you know, how are you going to make a living? You got to have your merch out there. You got to get the streaming numbers up. You got to have, you got to have the money to do this kind of thing. So there is that totally separate pressure when it comes to like an official career.
You got a great team behind you. You got a great team behind you too that helps you with all of that. But learning to be able to trust a team and, you know, to be able to help promote you to do everything that they're doing. You've got an amazing team behind you right now with Sharp Nine Music and everything that you've been through when it comes to your new release. But let's talk about when you were asked by O'Reilly and for Jim Kressman to join for one of their clients to become one of a duo group.
Yeah, that was in 2017. It was a fantastic opportunity. I loved every minute of it. Louie and Jim, they kind of took me under their wing to be part of a duo group, Abby and Beamer, and we got to release our song "What If They're Wrong," which reached I think number 87 on the charts, and I was so happy about that, especially for, you know, us new artists. But yeah, we got to record a music video and an EPK and things like that. And I love the opportunity. That was the year I went to my first CCMA Awards show, the whole week actually. And it was such a rush. It seems to go on forever. And then at the same time, if you blink, you miss the whole thing.
It's such
a strange experience. but it was so much fun. And yeah, it was so much fun.
Beamer is such a special soul. We love him. We've had him on the show here, and we actually talked about you that day on the show. And and that duet, we actually played it, and it was just such a great song for both of you, and it fit him. He's just such a great person, such a genuine person, and such a soft, gentle soul. And we just love him. Yeah, exactly. And that's why the two of you worked so well on that duet. You can see exactly why Jim wanted to set that one up.
Yeah, for sure. We worked really well together.
Now, you've also worked with Dallas Smith. You've worked with Aaron. You've also worked with Beamer, as we're talking about. How was it for you to be able to work with such high caliber stars like that?
You know, through meeting them at the CCMAs, I sang First with Dean Brody. I got to sing Bounty with him back in 20, 14, I want to say. And that was such an amazing experience. And that opened me up to all sorts of other Canadian artists, like Dallas and like Aaron. And just getting to know them through social media and, you know, friending each other and following each other on Instagram. And then just connecting and seeing each other whenever they'd be on radio tours, then they'd come to Kingston, or, you know, we'd be in the same spot at the same time. And we'd just meet up, go for lunch or something like that. So yeah, just getting to know them over the years, we, you know, formed a bit of a connection. So getting to sing with them was fantastic.
Coming full circle, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. So much fun, though.
I'm chatting here with Canada's country recording artist, Abby Stewart. Now, you are such an amazing soul when it comes to becoming a singer-songwriter, but what have you noticed has changed so much in that process for you? Because you started so young, but then you're recording with all of these big stars. What was the biggest change you've noticed fast-forwarding to 2020?
Well, I wrote, like, my first song, I want to say when I was, like, 7, and it was not good. I just did my best.
Do you remember the name?
No, I think that I have blocked that memory out because it was embarrassing. But I definitely sang it for my parents. Maybe they would tell you. But, yeah, I started writing around that age. And, you know, it takes practice like anything does. Mm-hmm. So I think my songwriting throughout the years has gotten better, and I've definitely been blessed with opportunities like going to Nashville and connecting with writers there, and they have definitely helped me, you know, hone that craft and give me advice on how to, you know, make this line better, make this more descriptive. You mm-hmm. see this line, this is like pretty weak. Like, it's all very constructive criticism that they'll give you and they'll help you with. And, you know, opportunities like that are hard to pass up, for sure. The thing I love about country music writing is it's not like a one and done type thing. Like mm-hmm. when you're finished a song, no, let's set up another one. Let's get it in the calendar. And you build relationships like that. So all those people helping me develop that craft, like Doug Folkins and Troy Kokel, and people down in Asheville, like Bill DeLuigi and Phil Barton, they're such amazing writers and people. And they've all helped me become a better songwriter. So I'm very grateful for that.
And you also do find that you do have a group of people that you know you can turn to when you have an idea. And mm-hmm. when you're writing with so many different people, and that's why they say write, you know, when it comes to this yep. business, and when they send you off to Nashville, because it's so important. It's not about getting that hit song. It's about getting yourself established and being able to work with words and your thoughts and that creativity to tap into all of that and being able to bring yeah. out the very best of your artistry. And that is something that just, no matter what, takes time. And for you to be able to know who you're comfortable with now, I would imagine you do with all of these years, know who you can sit back and say, you know what, I know if I sit in the room with this person or this person or this person, then I guarantee I'm comfortable. They know me. I feel them. They just understand and get me. Is that how you feel mm-hmm. today?
That is definitely how I feel today, for sure. There's like a comfort level to the people that, you know, you write songs with, because in all fairness, unless you're writing the most sarcastic song in the world, which I do like to do, mm-hmm. but you're kind of bearing your soul to them because yeah. you're giving them your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, really. So you just have to be able to trust them and know that they're here to help. They're here to make your song better. And I'm very grateful for them.
Yeah, you're there to be able to tap into your vulnerability, because that's what makes mm-hmm. the song believable, you know, when it comes to fans and for them to be able to relate to you. We all know that you've got the power. There's no doubt about it. You have the power behind your chops there. And, you know, that's a gift in itself. But to be able to connect inside a soul, you know, especially today. So let's bring it back to 2020 when it comes to COVID and what it was like for you to come off of all those big shows, all of those tours, and keep that momentum going. But as a musician, you know, all that mm-hmm. noise stops. And, yeah. you know, all of a sudden that creativity has a new light, because you don't have all the noise around you. You're not being rushed, you know, into the recording studio. You're not, you know, sitting down with all these writers in Nashville and doing all these things, you've got to sit back and actually hone in yourself and deal with that internal dialogue. What was the biggest change for you as a musician going through all of this troubled times?
I'm going to be honest. When COVID started for like a couple months, I went through such like a block, like a creativity block. I was like not writing. I was playing guitar, but I was not writing. I couldn't think of anything to write about because the world was just, especially in like April and May of last year when like COVID's like truly scared me the most, when it was very fresh in everybody's minds, I wasn't feeling inspired. I was just feeling scared. And so I didn't know what to write about. And I wasn't, you know, reaching out to anybody to write with or anything like that. It was a very like stunted creative period for me. But then I reached out to, you know, my writing friends in Nashville and across Canada. And we, thank God for technology today, because we were able to, you know, set up Skype rights and Zoom rights and things like that. And that super helped me get out of that rut that I was in.
I think, did it also help you too, to know that artists that, you know, have star, you know, they have this, the Canadian star behind them, you know, with all the success that they've had, but having the exact same problems. They were going through the exact same thing, because when you're moving so fast in life, you don't think about it anymore. But when you got to stop and stand still and listen to the silence, it's hard to be creative at first. It really is, because your mind's always racing, and then all of a sudden you got nothing to race to.
Yeah, that's a really good description. Exactly. It was just the world screeched to a halt, and it was very, very strange. And yeah, my brain just turned off for a couple months.
Yeah. And then reaching out to the Nashville, you know, artists and being able to sit and write with them, because, you know, going through something like this, we have not gone through that in our generation. Our parents and our grandparents certainly have. And, you know, for centuries before that, but for our generation, we just haven't been able to do that. But now you're seeing a lot of songwriters and artists that are doing everything in their own homes. They're doing their productions in their own homes. They're playing the instruments separately in their own homes and producing songs and getting them out there. We've all had to shift and be able to recreate, you know, what we need to get music out there, because music heals. And for you to sit down with those writers was a healing part for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was very therapeutic in a way, just to, you know, finally kind of break through that barrier and get some of my thoughts out and just create. It was nice. You know, I'm out of that rut now, which is nice as well. And I don't really want to go back to that anytime soon. But
well, you know how to handle it now.
Yeah.
You know how to handle it. Yeah. And now
the tools to help.
Exactly. And now look at you. You got to sit down and you got contacted. And that is the multi-award winning producer and star maker, Jeff Dazelle. It doesn't get any better that when it comes to that man, because I don't know, it's not just a few artists he works with. He works with so many. And for him to have you in mind for a very, very special song, tell us about that.
Yeah, Jeff is such a powerhouse of a producer. He's an amazing person. Huge Star Wars nerd. His whole studio's got Star Wars stuff in it. It's a fun area to be recording in. And I actually got connected to Jeff through Invictus Entertainment back in 2017.
With Jim,
We kind of kept up our relationship, and he helped me with my other song called No More Falling Down, and he made that song into something I couldn't even imagine it being. So I'm so grateful for that. So he has kind of taken me under his wing in a lot of different ways, and he's just so amazing. So I heard Bless Your Heart back in the summer of 2019, and I fell in love with it immediately. It was, you know, written by him and Karen Kazowski and Ali. and I fell in love with it. And I got to record it January 2020, so right before things were, you know, gonna shut down. So COVID pushed back, you know, our release plans and everything, which was really disappointing, but, you know, I got it recorded. I had so much fun recording it with Jeff. And, you know, as you said, I have such an amazing team behind me with, you know, Bill Miller of Sharp Nine Music.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it took a while to get out there. It was going to be a summer release for 2020, but we decided to hold back just to, you know, see what would happen. And, you know, it got into the winter months and we were like, okay, well, COVID clearly isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So we need to get it out. So last summer we also shot a music video, COVID safe, and everything like that. But we shot the music video for it, and which now we released it in February. It has over 20,000 views already.
Know.
So I'm very thrilled about that. But yeah, the response has been overwhelmingly positive so far. And just last week, it was number 23 on the Rolling Ranking.
I saw.
The playlist.
Congrats.
On Media or Sirius XM. So yeah, the response has been very positive, and I'm very, very proud of it. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go for it.
Oh, we're going to get into all that, and I'm going to remind everybody exactly how they can do that, and especially contacting their local country radio stations. But streaming platforms are so important, and that's where the fans can come in. You just touched base on that, so let's do that right now, because if they download the song to begin with, and you know, they buy it first and then download it, share it on their platforms, that makes all the difference in the world to what the new awards are now that are being handed out to the artists. So for Sirius XM, you did extremely well. And that was one that you had received already. And when it comes to all the other streaming platforms, if they're sharing it, then that sets you up for success in every song that you do. And going and viewing the YouTube, your video of the year, all of it. There's just so much that fans can do. But request it at your local radio stations if you haven't heard the song, Bless Your Heart, because it is such a cool, sassy song. And this is the other side of you that we haven't seen. And I know you love to do it. Now, when it comes to Jeff, he does transform. It's just one word that you said there, and I needed to come back to, because artists go in one way, and they come out the other side, and they just didn't realize they had that capability. They come out a different person. Take us inside the studio and what it was like working with Bill and working with Jeff and that whole transformation of the song for you.
So I heard, like I said, I heard Bless Your Heart in 2019 and I fell in love with it. I love the song. I love the sarcastic edge to it. It's so much fun.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah. It's, I love my sarcastic side.
So do I.
But yeah, going into the studio, we worked on it for, when did I go in? I went in and recorded January 3rd and 4th, and we did like 14 hours of just vocals over and over and over again. And it's crazy that, you know, each song takes that amount of time, but it's all for the best, because you go through, you know, it's such a crazy process because you sing the whole song all the way through many, many times. But then you'll go in and, you know, pick out different lyrics and just sing that one line over and over and over and over again until it's like drilled into your brain. But the thing is you do it a bunch of different styles, a bunch of different ways, a whole lot of different times. And then you pick which one you like the most. And it's like Jeff calls that kind of stuff Franken songs, because you just pick lines and you stitch them together, pick another line, stitch it together. And he does that with songwriting as well. You know, you could have a bunch of whole different separate song ideas and then be like, oh, they would actually really fit together. And then you stitch them together and come up with something really awesome.
I just want one day to be in the studio with Jeff and just watch him from the beginning to the very end, just film where his head goes and how.
It, It is very fun to watch, for sure. The amount of, like audio files, you know, that he records and records and records, it goes down, like, 1,000 pages. It's incredible. And then he'll sit and pick through each one and listen to it and make sure that, you know, this is the best possible take we could get.
That's why he's the multi-award winning producer. That's the whole reason why.
Exactly. Definitely very, very much deserved. He's incredible.
I'm telling
but
you.
But yeah, he knows what will sound good and he does it. And if it doesn't work out, he'll try something else. And if that doesn't work out, he'll try again and again until, you know, it's perfect. He's amazing to work with.
What's the biggest change that you saw in yourself after working with Jeff?
Jeff, like I said, he's really taken me under under his wing when it comes to songwriting and when it comes to, you know, pushing the boundaries of, like, how far my vocals could go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, because of the process of recording, you know, taking one line and singing it over and over and over again, when I'm practicing songs now or when I'm writing songs now, I'll go back to different lines many, many times just mm-hmm. to make sure that it's as good as I could get. Because, you know, before I met Jeff and I didn't know about this process of recording and making sure everything is, you know, pristine and perfect, I was kind of in that mindset of, like, yeah, I like that, I'm not going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that might not necessarily be the best thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that Jeff has given me a lot of, like, patience and, like, you know, patience with myself and with my own craft, which has been super helpful.
He's also letting you look at the layers of a lyric and letting the lyric stand out,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, the music. It's putting the Very lyrics true. In front of it, you know, and making sure that they stand out and that emotion delivers, you know, in that song.
Yes.
And I think that's what I'm hearing when you're describing that.
Yeah, that's very true. An example I can think of that is towards the end of the song, like on that last chorus, when my kind of backing vocals go up really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
We did that line so many times, and it kept developing. Like, at the beginning, I was very, you know, scared to do that because I was like, is this too high? Like, I don't know if this is going to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we did it and the more I, like, adjusted my vocals, made sure that I was singing it in a healthy way and not just, like, screaming into the microphone,
mm-hmm.
it ended up being better than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, so, because it wasn't about the note. It was about giving that emotion,
to
exactly. that word.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's a great, great opportunity for us to be able to take a little bit of a peek inside that studio working with that man, because he's pretty incredible. So we're going to play right now Bless Your Heart by powerhouse country music's rising star, Abby Stewart, here on Music's Journey.
Looking for your things there in the yard, but you won't find that old guitar.
Taking your time. Thank you, baby, for taking your space. I hope you're happy there with what's her face.
there's no one here to complain.
What a great song. Don't Mess with Abby Stewart. Have you seen the video for that? Looks like it was a lot of fun to shoot that video. Bless your heart from Abby Stewart. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I absolutely love this part because it's that sassy, sarcastic tone and performance that you have about a guy that, you know what, you just discovered had been fooling around the whole time. And you know what, you see that text and it's just what you give back is just that power and control and that self-love message, but it's sarcastic and sassy at the same time.
Yeah, I love songs like that. Part of the reason why I love this one so much. I love one of my favorite lyrics is right at the beginning, looking for your things there in the yard, but you won't find that old guitar. Because I have another song called Souvenirs, and it's literally about just going and stealing somebody's stuff because they were, being wrong to you. So I'm just taking a few souvenirs. Those beginning lines are so funny to me, and they really hooked me right from the beginning.
She's going, I can make this one happen for you in this video. Just watch this.
Yeah.
Abby, do you have a boyfriend?
Not currently, no.
Okay.
John's going, okay, warning to all the guys out there. That's exactly where he's going with that. But you hold on to that power and you don't let that one go. So you know what? It's got nothing to do with anybody but you.
Yeah.
So that music video looked like so much fun. I know you guys had to do it safely, but you were working with some pretty incredible backup band there. And tell everybody about the song and playing this one.
Filming this music video back in the summer, it was so much fun. We actually shot parts of it at a local music store called Limestone Music here in Kingston. And they were so accommodating and awesome to us. They, you know, provided that green screen in the back and where me and my band are. Mm-hmm. And that day was so much fun. We shot for quite a few hours, but I wasn't tired. It was just a blast. And I think part of that is because of, you know, COVID and being stuck inside. It was like, oh, I feel like I'm performing again.
I can imagine.
Yeah, for sure. It was awesome to be with my band again. And they're all such awesome guys. And that was the first time we had actually, like, played together in months and, you know, played that song. You know, obviously you can't hear them playing because the actual song is playing over it, but it was just awesome to even have that kind of practice with them. So
it's weird, isn't it, when you're getting on the stage and you got to pretend you guys are actually doing all of that and you guys aren't really doing anything because the song's playing. It's hard to have that side of creativity and deliver that one in a believing way because, you know, the track is what you're playing. You know, it's just to listen to that and watch that whole process is just so incredible to see a music video put together.
It is. It's so cool. You know, the parts in the video where I'm, spoiler alert, but like destroying stuff and like just going to town on the house and the room and stuff. That was also so much fun. It looks fun. It definitely was.
Yeah.
I made a mess and we took inspiration from like Taylor Swift music videos and Carrie Underwood music videos and other, you know, women you don't want to mess with. So kind of honing that inspiration into this video was so much fun.
Well, I think that's what they call, they have these rooms now where they're called the breakup rooms, you know, where women can go and just smash everything that they have. They just get all the junk and they put it in there. They can take hammers to it. They can take whatever they want to that room. And it's just, you know, it's a great process. We just got to be able to watch you do it, you know, in your video. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Very therapeutic.
Exactly. I haven't done it yet, but I think I need one of those. Yes. Now, when it comes to when it comes to the burning questions portion of the show, are you okay for that?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do that. Now, what is your favorite thing to do when it comes to stepping away from the music and performing? What's your favorite thing?
Good question. I have a lot of hobbies to do with, like, movies and TV shows. I have a lot of useless knowledge up in my head. Like, I mean, you know, lots of people would say it's not useless when it comes to, like, trivia nights, and I would agree with that.
What's your favorite show? What's the favorite one?
Oh, currently it's a show called Supernatural, which just ended, actually, which is devastating. But it's very good, and I love it very much. But my first, like, obsession with a TV show was The X-Files.
Ah. So you're one of those girls. You like that supernatural stuff. Because did you like Sam or did you like the other guy? I can't remember his name
Dean.
Now. Dean, yes.
Dean, for sure.
Dean. I was a Dean fan all the way. I used to watch that years ago, and I just haven't been able to watch it, I think, in the last 5 years. But yeah, I've missed a lot. So it ended.
It did. It ended in November.
Oh, wow. I got a lot of catching up to do, see? I haven't had any time to watch that stuff yet, but you got to watch Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah, with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know it steps out of the realm when it comes to the X-Files and all that stuff, but you got to watch that one. Really good one.
Okay, I'll put it on my list.
Is there any movie that is a favorite for you when it comes to special time for you?
Yes, very much. And this is like, not like a debated question, but I love horror movies. So my favorite movie of all time is It, like the 2017 version of It.
Really?
I have a fun story about it, though.
Okay.
My sister, actually, she, like, fell in love with it first because all the kids in that movie are her age, so she could relate to them, like, a lot. So she just was obsessed with that movie. Mm-hmm. So when they were filming the second one, they actually filmed, you know, the first one and the second one, not very far from Kingston. So one day we went and just watched them film, and we met most of the cast, including Bill Hader, Finn Wolfhard, and all of them, including the director. And my sister also got to be an extra on set. So she got to do some acting with them on some of the sets. And it was an incredible experience. So those movies have a special place in our hearts.
Now I understand the love for that movie, because you know what, that would make a big difference, just being able to be on set and seeing how they put those scenes together.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Pretty cool. Okay, now I know that you and I have something, well, we have a few things in common. The sassy part, I'm getting there. So you keep emoting that for me, so that'll work for me. I'll get there. When it comes to the love of fishing, when it comes to the love of baseball and hockey, I used to play all three, all three. I still love fishing. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's my calm. But tell us about what it is about those three things that you love.
I haven't played hockey in a few years, but I have coached my sister's team ever since I stopped playing hockey. So, you know, I've always loved playing. My parents, you know, they wanted us to be, me and my sister, they wanted to really, like, round us out. So, like, I have music and I have sports and school and things like that. So I played hockey ever since I was, like, 4 years old. So it has a very special place in my heart, and it's really fun. I mean, are you Canadian if you can't skate?
I know. I might need a little bit of practice to get back up there, but mine was floor hockey. I never got to play, you know, ice hockey. Yeah, I never got that chance, okay. But I was really good at field hockey and floor hockey.
Oh, I love that. I've never tried field hockey.
Oh,
but,
it hurts. It hurts.
I bet, yeah.
The shin pads don't work because the girls will hit you anyway. But yeah, I played for the All-Ontarios, and I did the same thing when it came to baseball. So, you know, I really enjoyed the sport, still do. But just haven't had the chance to play in the last couple of years. But yeah.
It's so much fun. And honestly, the same thing goes for baseball and softball. I've played it for many, many years, and I still do, actually. I haven't quit that one yet.
Good.
I'm a catcher mostly, so I'm behind the plate, guarding that. So I love it so much.
Well, you know what? That's what makes us whole, is when we have those experiences in life, you know, where mm-hmm. we can go out there and we enjoy other things than what we're doing. That keeps us balanced, right?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
It's a nice outlet, a different kind of outlet.
What is the hardest thing about starting music so young, and what is the best thing?
I would say the hardest thing about starting music that young was, you know, having to give up some things to be able to, you know, go to shows and keep up with writing appointments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of struggled in elementary school when it came to, like, making friends and building those kinds of relationships.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't change anything for the world, because I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've had in my career so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that is the hardest thing about starting that young, is, you know, missing school and missing out on, you know, going to birthday parties and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing I would say is getting to hear your music, like, come to life. It's very rewarding,
mm-hmm.
because it starts with just, like, you know, I'm going to get metaphorical, but it starts with, like, you know, a little seed. It's just like a little line in your head that you can't stop thinking of, so you write it down, and then it just builds and builds until, you know, you go to someone like Jeff Dalziel, who just breathes life into it. And it's just, it's such a cool process, just seeing your idea go from one thing to something totally spectacular.
And also, too, knowing that your songwriting is also your therapy, too, when it comes to mm-hmm. dealing with life, and being able to be vulnerable enough to put those words down on paper, and mm-hmm. to be able to share that to the world, because so many people are going through so much right now. And, you know, when you wrote Broken Home and all of that stuff, you know, at such a young age to be able to deliver a vocal like that, but also to be vulnerable enough to write something like that, you know, mm-hmm. it just shows the depth that you have as an artist, and you should be so proud of your work, your songwriting, and of course, you know, that special gift you have with your vocal.
Oh, thank you. That was early on in my career, but mm-hmm. Broken Home definitely was a very emotional song. But yeah, it's very special to me.
Mm-hmm. What is the best advice you've ever been given so far?
Ooh, best advice. Let me see. I was told by Troy Kokel a long time ago that when I'm writing, this is a lot about writing, but to always, like, when you have an idea, imagine what the music video is going to look like. Because that puts, like, the visual in your mind. It's like creating a storyboard when it comes to songwriting. And obviously, you know, not every song you write is going to get a music video, but it's nice to have that visual, and it's like, it just carries it along, and it makes the process that much easier. So ever since he told me that, that's how I've imagine songwriting, is, you know, also storyboarding.
Very cool. That's very cool. What is your favorite thing to do with your girlfriends now?
Oh, right now? This is interesting, actually. I am also in my first year of college right now, and we're done in a couple weeks, which is absolutely insane. I've spent my whole entire first year of college at home on the computer.
Oh, wow.
But it's so weird because I have a class of like 32 people, I think. We're all in the same classes and stuff like that. And I have been able to make so many friends, and we've never met in real life.
Oh, that's great.
So strange. So we Zoom each other every Friday night, just to, you know, not talking about school, just to catch up on like what's going on. And, you know, because of COVID, not a lot is going on, but we still make conversation.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that's been my favorite thing lately.
That's nice when you have technology to be able to do that, right? Because I know we all used to pick up our phones, but now you can still see each other, and you actually can, you can visualize and talk about, you know, you can see that person's expression as whatever you guys are talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Do they like the sassy song?
They were ridiculously supportive. I love them all very, very much. We have like on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have these like workout sessions where we just like exercise and stuff. And they have not told me about like their playlists, and then Bless Your Heart will just come on and I'll be like really embarrassed. But I love them so much and their support means everything.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, so what is your favorite song on the radio today? And genre doesn't matter. So what song makes you emotional and why?
Currently, oh gosh, there's so many good ones. This is from a little while ago, but it's still on the radio, and whenever it comes on, I lose my mind. I Hope by Gabby Barrett.
Mm.
I love that song so much. I heard it on Spotify before it made it to radio, and just the twist of like, and then I hope she cheats, that blew my mind the first time I heard it, because you just don't see it coming. You think it's like the tone of the song is that it's a breakup song, but then the lyrics in the first verse and first chorus,
they flip, yeah,
make you think it's a positive thing.
Yep.
So then when it flips, it just, I love it so much.
Awesome song. I love that one too. It's one of my favorites right now.
Me too.
Weirdest thing that you do?
Weirdest thing I do.
See how vulnerable you'll be now. Let's see.
Let's see. I mean, I guess this would be weird depending on, you know, the person you're talking to, I guess, because lots of people do this, I think. But I'm a bit of a night owl. Like,
Hallelujah.
I need to go to sleep, but I don't. So I'm a bit of a night owl, except I will catch myself having like full conversations with myself, and I won't even realize it. I'll just be like reading something or watching something, and I'll be like, yeah, that's a good point. See, she always knows what to do in this situation. And then I'll be like, what are you talking about? I'll be having full out loud.
That's creativity, girl. That's an artist. Okay.
Yeah.
See, John's going to step in here. He's about to say, you know what, my wife, she's a night owl too. So, you know what, I don't know what it is about us people that we can't shut our minds off. And it's just, I don't know, I do my best work at night.
I can't do it. It's like a little bit of free time where like nobody expects anything of you. Yeah, I'm just going to stay up.
I get up in the morning and I see all these posts that she's put on Facebook through the night. I'm like, you were awake?
So,
yeah, so that's relatable.
See, there you go. So now you know I'm awake. And so you and I can have some conversations in the middle of the night, right? So
love that.
Yeah. So you got a night buddy. Now, if you could step in the shoes of any artist past or present, live their life for one day, who would it be and why?
That is a good question. See, I want to say Bryan Adams, but I'm not sure. Just because he's, like, my hero. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, like, country music, I would say, any genre, yes, but I would honestly say someone like Carrie Underwood, because she has such, like, a powerhouse of a belting voice,
mm-hmm.
and I would love to see, like, her process of, you know, keeping her voice healthy, and, like, her warm-up routine, and things like that, because, you know, she does, you know, when she was touring and stuff, she does song after song, powerful
songs. Yeah, that's
song.
Hard, yeah.
Every single night, the same set list over and over again, and I'd love to see how she keeps herself healthy, and, you know, what her vocal process is like. Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
Same thing with Adele, you know, things like that, because that would be your fear, you know, getting up on a stage and, you know, when it comes to the fans, if you don't deliver that perfect vocal, that's what they remember, is if one note, they don't realize how much you guys are singing and singing. There's no rest in between. You're traveling mm-hmm. from one spot to the next. There's no rest for your voice. And that's a hard thing to do. And, you know, I just wish fans would ease up a little bit when it comes to these artists who are performing for you. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're one of them. And there's going to be those days where your voice gets tired. And, you know, it's hard to deliver. And, yeah, I can see exactly, you know, why you'd want to know something like that. So, yeah, very mm-hmm. cool. Okay, favorite side dish?
Favorite side dish? Mashed potatoes with gravy.
Oh, John's right in there on that one.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. My mom makes the best gravy, so like it's always a treat.
Hey, I do too. So John's spoiled when it comes to,
yes, I am.
I'm a very good cook, so yeah, he's lucky. All right, so favorite moment from a fan.
There is a little girl named Stella here in Kingston, or just on the outskirts of Kingston, and she has been a fan of mine for a few years now, and I love her very much. And one time I invited her up on stage to sing my song Summer at the Drive-In with me, and that is a memory that I hold very near and dear to me.
That's special.
She's so cute, and yeah, it was a really fun day. I would say that.
Very, very special. That's a cool memory. Okay, last question. What is your most useless talent? This one has opened up so many doors of Pandora's box for me. So it's just a gift that keeps on giving. So don't disappoint me. Come on.
Okay. Well, like I said before, I have a lot of like useless movie, TV show trivia up in my head. And my dad has this talent as well, and I'm not sure if it's a talent or if I've just seen him have this talent, so I, like, trained myself because it was so fun. It doesn't matter if it's animated or anything like that, he can tell exactly which person has been in which thing ever, even if it's, like, a background extra on, like, a Law and Order episode. He'll be like, that person was in this, 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 and this. And he'll be right every single time.
Hmm.
And so I can do that as well. So, like, you know, with animated voices or something, I'll be like, this person was in this, 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 and this. And it'll be right. And
it's very cool.
It's very fun. I'm sure we annoy my mom very much when we're watching TV, but it's really fun.
That's when you pause the show to say, yeah, when you pause the show to say, okay, this person, so it takes a long time to get through your movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta figure it out. I gotta figure it out, or like it'll be in the back of my head all day.
Netflix and Google.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna tell you John's most useless talent. And see, he said, oh, look at his face. He was not ready for this one.
I'm waiting.
John's most useless talent is making the zombie sounds. He does it to all the squirrels outside. Anybody who comes to the door, he's running out there. Do it now. Come on, do it now. It's like he runs out the door and he's so proud of himself when he comes back in because he chased a squirrel or a bird or something away.
That was really good.
Well, thank you.
That reminded me of something I can do with like my throat. I'm not really sure how.
It's like a cougar.
You know those little poor creatures in The Last Jedi?
Yes.
I can do that sound effect pretty well.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, I'm gonna hold my phone away.
Okay. That's awesome. See, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
I'm glad I got to do that. That's very fun.
There we go. Okay, so you know what? I am so, so excited for you with this song because this is, bless your heart, God. See, I can say it to you honestly. Bless your heart for being that sassy girl that we all love, you know, when we hear songs like that. So I really, really appreciate you coming on the show. We hope they can have you back.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Abby, yeah. I have one question for you.
Of course.
What's the worst thing about playing tag with a clown?
I feel like I should say, what is the worst thing about playing tag with a clown?
Good for you. Worst thing about playing tag with a clown is when the clown is it.
Oh my God. Wow. I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I didn't even realize.
But see, I can't say anything when it comes to the jokes because I know they're coming. And it's just at some point in time, he's gonna flip on that button because he's got the control board. I can't do anything. So I can't mute him. He just muted me. Anyway, tell everybody where they can see everything Abby Stewart.
Yeah, of course. So you can connect with all my social media as well as streaming services through my website, www.abbystewartmusic.com. And my Twitter handle and my Instagram handle, they're both abbystewart01. And go check me out on Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon Music, anywhere where you stream your music. And I would appreciate you giving Bless Your Heart a listen.
Well, we want to tell fans out there, you know what? You can help Abby out so much when it comes to how well this song does this year. And same thing for award-winning producer for Jeff Dizelle. It's amazing to hear a vocal come out like this and to see somebody develop and to become a bigger and brighter star every single time you get behind the mic and you get in that studio and release another one. So we are so excited for you, and thank you so much for coming on Music's Journey here today. And we look forward to having you to come back, and we will be watching and being a part of this journey that you're on in your musical journey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again. You stay safe. And just make that star brighter and brighter every single day for you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to do my best.
Okay, thanks, Abby. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. What a wonderful guest, and what an amazing star, and such a bright light that Abby Stewart is. And we're so grateful to have her on the show. Thank you all for listening to me and being able to be a part of the show and welcoming us into your home and to be welcoming us into wherever you are listening to the podcast. Thank you so much. We really appreciate each and every one of you. We've got some great shows coming up for you. We've got New Moon Junction. Annika is going to be here. Oliver Charles, Danny Doucette, Renegade Station, Sean Carson, Diane Chase, Jason Blaine. We have so many that are coming up, some really great shows. So we look forward to having you back and listening and tuning in. Thank you again. Stay safe, and we'll see you very soon. I'm your host, Kim Sear, here on Music's Journey.
That was fun. Once again, a great big thank you to Abby Stewart for chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Alexa, Spotify, Player FM, Deezer, Podcast Addicts, Podchaser, Pocket Cast. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.